to the front in one of his town halls. He talked about this particular comment and what went on with that. And I thought, well, you can hear the Congresswoman Bachman has just arrived, and we're going to bring her in and get her sat down here and get a chance if we can get the crowd noise down here and get her. She's a rock star.
So, Sam, how are you?
Good, how you doing, Congressman?
Oh, I'm
Bachman?
Doing great. We
well,
had
welcome.
A whole, welcome. We had a huge crowd here with signs. How great!
Well, I thought I couldn't help it. I couldn't help but notice as we were getting ready for the show today that your very robust staff was coming along here. I just want to say, last night was a great night for the country. It was a great night for Iowa. It was a great night for you. A lot of people have asked me about how things went, and I thought it said my word. They said it was great. I wanted to just say this and to you. I think it was your best performance to date.
Oh, thank you.
In the debates, I made the comment. I said the elbows got a little sharp once in a while, but we got back to the points. And I thought everybody on the stage comported themselves extremely well. And I thought you had a particularly strong performance compared to some. And I think for you, that was great, particularly with 2.5 weeks to go to the caucuses here. So how do you feel? I mean, how are you holding up under all of this?
Oh, well, great. And we were really thrilled with how the whole event went last night, too. And the question came up from Fox.
Yeah.
What do you think about the 11th commandment?
Yeah.
You know, bashing other Republicans.
Yeah.
And it really was about clarity because people think we're all the same.
Yeah.
We aren't. We are wildly different on where we stand on the issues. Mm-hmm. And that's why it was really important to have the night. I was thrilled with how it went, and we had a number of the people. Chris Wallace, Sean Hannity said to me last night, "You won the debate."
So
we had it coming from all over the United States that I won the debate, and we were of course thrilled to hear that.
Well, I very fortunate here for a list of circumstances. I certainly couldn't afford to pay for the gold card that I got, but my wife Char and I had the opportunity to sit up very close.
Did you enjoy it?
I loved it.
What did you think? Could you hear us?
Well, first off, just the whole process. I mean, it's been busy for the media, and I'm still not used to being a media person. I'm just a short, fat guy in Iowa that gets to talk on the radio. So,
well, it had to be over 1,000 people.
There were 1,700 people. 1,700 people in the hall.
Huge.
And there were no
huge.
Empty seats.
No. Right.
And the crowd was electric.
They were electric. From the second we walked down the stage,
you couldn't hear Brett when
electric.
He was talking. Every time we come out of a break, you couldn't hear him. I mean, it was. We watched it last night when we got home, and Char is not nearly as she
political.
Has to listen to this all the time, but she's not nearly as she absolutely was enthralled. She said, "This is historic. I mean, this is something that we."
This is the first time we've ever had a debate in Sioux City.
Yes,
But I will tell you, the audience was so appreciative, and I think again. The whole country is, the values of the country are reflective of Northwest Iowa.
Absolutely.
People want to say that this is some outpost that is not reflective of America. This is the most reflective of America because people are God and country and faith and family.
Yeah.
And you could tell it in the respectful demeanor of that audience.
I think you go down to the first 8 amendments of the Constitution and that's here.
Amen.
There's no question
that's
about
right.
that.
That's right. I agree.
I thought that last night was particularly interesting. I was just starting the discussion here and I think there were two things I thought were very important that we talked about that had not been brought up in other debates. One was the discussion on the judges. I thought that was a remarkable conversation.
Yes.
I thought, and everybody did well. I thought your answers and you and the speaker did extremely well on that point. Because I think this is a topic we have to talk about. You're an attorney. I mean, you come from that profession. And I think this whole notion of gaining accountability of the judiciary is absolutely critical. And why is it taken all the way up to this point? To get this out in the open.
Well, right, because it's been like, 30, 40 years where we have this oligarchy of judges who are on Mount Olympus, and it's like it doesn't matter who the president is, doesn't matter who the Congress is, it's really the court that's going to make all the big decisions. And I think the American people are saying, enough, done. And it really began here in Iowa, where Iowans said, we're done. You are not going to tell us what our definition of marriage is going to be. Yep. And literally, when the Iowans chose not to retain those three judges, that was the shot heard round the world.
It was interesting because last night we were sitting, we had a couple of Romney people between us. But our friends Bob and Darla Vanderplas were sitting right next to us down there, and Bob, of course, was the one that led that
the
big revolt against the judges here, and it was interesting to watch his body language last night, and I have utmost respect for him, and I think he's really, you know, he is a guy who's done a lot for this state in his own way. I thought that discussion was dynamite. I think it's an important topic for a lot of people to talk about. The other was the immigration question, and I think this is one of the areas where we get some great distinctions among the candidates.
That's right.
And I think that, you know, your stance is very clear. Mm-hmm. I mean, you are very much anyone that's illegal is illegal. What do we not understand about illegal?
That's right.
And how do we get that taken care of?
That's right. And I have the highest score of any of the candidates on immigration. Newt Gingrich has the lowest score, and it's because he's willing to make 11 million people here in this country illegal to make them overnight legal. Mm-hmm. That is a pathway to citizenship. My stance is you secure the border, you get the border security guards, and you enforce the laws on the books, which are deportation. Yeah. So anyone that you interdict anywhere, if kids coming to school or whatever, if you find out that they're illegal, they've got to be deported. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely.
And I also believe English is the official language of the United States government. Yep. But I also believe we end the practice of having anchor babies, which is women who come into the United States who are illegal. They give birth to a baby. We pay for the hospital. Yep. We pay for they get American citizenship automatically. Yep. And then they all of a sudden go on the welfare rolls. We are the only industrialized nation in the world that does this. It's got to end. And I will end that practice.
I think one of the things about that is that the whole notion, again, it goes back to the legal discussion we had about the courts. The courts are the ones that have upheld the birthright citizenship since the 14th Amendment was put on the books. And I think this is a huge topic of debate. I know this is something that Congressman King and I discussed quite often in that topic. The other topic I wanted to mention
Personally, I don't believe that we have to overturn the 14th Amendment.
Oh, no.
We can change it with legislation.
And it's simply
behind it.
I agree. And I think what you do is you go back and look at the language of the discussions in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because Congress passed a civil rights laws in 1866 and 1867 that really had the core of the debate that led to the 14th Amendment. And a lot of people don't know that history.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back and look at the original intent, that clause was never intended
birthright
citizenship.
You're right. You're exactly
absolutely
right.
Not ever intended for that. I thought one of the most interesting dialogues last night was between you and Congressman Paul. And I will just say bluntly, and I've said it on here, I don't think Congressman Paul did himself any favors last night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that his discussion and your discussion about Iran back and forth with him and his worldview and your worldview, I don't think there was a starker contrast in the entire evening than that. How did you feel about that? Because you were involved. How did you think that unfolded for you? And certainly, I think that offered you an excellent opportunity to get your views out about the terrorism.
You're right. And I'm grateful that we could have the exchange because earlier when we had the Ames debate, that's the first time that Ron Paul came out on stage and said that he had no problem with Iran getting a nuclear weapon, which is absurd because that would be like Adolf Hitler saying in pre-war Germany that that his intention was to blow Israel off the map or to blow the United States up. And had he had a nuclear bomb, does anyone think that he wouldn't have used it? Mm. Of course he would have. Well, Iran is very similar today. They hate the Jews. They hate the United States. And they want to dominate the world. As a matter of fact, I said last night, in the Constitution of Iran, it stated that their goal is to spread jihad across the world, and they intend to establish a global caliphate. What is not to understand? This is a religiously motivated group, and their design is to take over the world by force for their religious viewpoint. It's just a fact. We've got to take off our politically correct glasses when we look at this subject of terror and the motivation behind terror and just call it out for what it is. And it was bizarre to me that Ron Paul said there is no UN report. There's an International Atomic Energy Agency report that came out early November is unequivocal. And I sit on the House Intelligence Committee. We deal with the classified secrets of the nation. I can't divulge those secrets.
Right.
But the IAEA report is available for anyone to see. Everyone knows that Iran is hell-bent on getting a nuclear weapon. And the moment they get it, and as recently as August and September this year, the president of Iran said he wants to eradicate Israel from the face of the map. And we're going to just listen to Ron Paul and say that, gee, there's no evidence. There's evidence everywhere. You just don't want to open your eyes up to see it.
I think, you know, again, I couldn't believe what I was hearing last night.
It was unbelievable.
It was. And I really do think that that was, it was, I don't know whether it was intentional.
It's a total disqualifier.
Well, I agree. I couldn't agree more.
I like Ron Paul. Yeah. I'm a friend of his in the United States Congress. I have great respect for him. I have great respect for his views on the economy and on the Federal Reserve. I agree with him completely. But this is so off base. And this isn't just one thing.
No.
This is all a foreign policy.
Oh, yeah.
I could not disagree with Ron Paul more.
I agree. I said that. I was on with Mark Hahn earlier before my show came on, and I made 20 minutes. I went on about this because I think that this disqualifies him from being president of the United States.
Well,
I just do. I'm sorry. I feel that way, and I have a lot of respect for him.
No, it is true.
And it's absolutely the way it is.
I think this is one of my greatest qualifiers to be the next president of the United States, because the next president will be tested almost immediately out of the gate on foreign policy. Of all of the candidates that are on that stage, no one has my credentials and my background in foreign policy and national security. Of all of those candidates, I've been involved for the last 5 years. I'm current. I get the same types of briefings that the president of the United States gets. No other candidate on that stage does. For me, this isn't a learning curve.
Yeah.
This is what I live every day.
Right.
Our president, we are in such a dangerous world right now, and our president has to know what's going on. I'm the only one qualified to do this up on the stage.
Well, we're talking with Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann from Minnesota, candidate for president of the United States in the Republican Party. One of the things I wanted to touch on here briefly was I have been dealing with a lot, not as much media as you, of course, but a lot of people come out here and they ask us, they call in to us all the time and say, well, what do you think? Who's going to win? Who's going to win? And I keep trying to tell them, I said, this is not a usual year for Iowa.
No.
And we're not going to punch one or two tickets. We may punch as many as five coming out of Iowa.
Yeah.
And I think this is good for the party. Mm-hmm. I think it's good for the nation because this dialogue will continue as we go forward. And I think that this is, it sharpens everyone. And I just want everybody to understand that I am encouraging candidates that may not win this thing, but do okay to keep at it, because this is how we're going to build the narrative and crystallize the narrative going into the national election, because the opponent is Barack Obama.
That's right.
Absolutely foremost,
right.
And we as a party need to be going forward with that.
We do, and we have to really take a clue from the 1980 election when Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan were up. And in that election, people said that Ronald Reagan couldn't win because he was too conservative. It was just the opposite. The more conservative the candidate and the better the candidate could articulate those conservative views, the more likely we are to win.
Right.
And that's why I believe I am that candidate, because I am the one that can walk in the legacy of Ronald Reagan and a Margaret Thatcher, if you will, to be able to go toe-to-toe against Barack Obama and present our conservative position, because this is the election when we don't settle. I am the national security conservative that beats all the other candidates.
Yeah.
I am the social conservative. I have my bona fides on that are unassailable. The same with being a fiscal conservative. I'm a former federal tax lawyer, and I started a business from scratch, and I also worked my way out of poverty. I know what it is to be poor. And also, I am a Tea Partier. So I can do it all as President of the United States. And I think it's time we have a very new and different voice to represent us in Washington,
well,
D.C.
Those of us from the old school and been to Disneyland understand what the e-ticket is, and I think you have the e-ticket. So I've got to let you go.
And I can take Barack Obama on.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I can take him on in the debate, and I think I proved that overwhelmingly, and I can defeat him and emerge victorious.
I know you got a tight schedule, Congresswoman, and just how do people want to, if they want to contribute and want to be part of your campaign,
Let's get that last word out here. Come to MichelleBachman.com because there you can be on our volunteer list. You don't have to be in Des Moines or in another city. You can phone from home for free. You can help us. That can if you can't contribute money, contribute time and your energy at MichelleBachman.com. Do our phone from home program or donate, even if it's $5, $10. We need your help in this all important race. And the other thing is, Sam Clovis, we are kicking off our 99 county tour on your station. We chose you to be the place where we kicked off our 99 county tour
because
you have an important voice in Northwest Iowa. I want every listener's vote that's here tonight. Please come out for me on January 3rd. Vote for me on caucus night. I am the candidate that can defeat Barack Obama. I have the highest electability, and I need your vote to do it. We will be today in Lamar's, Orange City, Rock Rapids, and I'm just thrilled about it.
Well, Congresswoman Michelle Bachman from Minnesota, a candidate for President of the United States, thanks so much for joining us in the studio today. You got a very happy and willing crowd outside for you, and we're going to let you go. So thanks for stopping by, Sam.
God bless you.
God bless you. Thanks so much. We'll see you. You bet. Now let's go ahead now and talk to our friend...